Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President-elect Joe Biden's first days in office will witness a historic second impeachment trial of, by then, former President Donald Trump. The Republicans' fate will rest in the hands of a Senate that will be under the control of Democrats and two independents who caucus with them. But as NPR Susan Davis explains, a majority will still need enough Republican support to convict.
Outgoing Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell blocked a request from incoming Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to return to Washington early to start the trial. The Senate's out of session until January 19th, and Biden's inauguration is the next day. Impeachment trials require senators to be in their seats and must meet 6 days a week until the trial concludes, making it difficult to approve any legislation or nomination while the trial's ongoing. If all 50 Democrats vote to convict, they'd need a minimum of 17 Republicans to join them to get a conviction. If Trump were convicted, which appears unlikely, the Senate could then vote to bar him from ever holding public office again. Susan Davis, NPR News, Washington.
The National Mall is still open, but given the high security threat following last week's insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, that could change come Inauguration Day. People are being told to stay away for their safety, while as many as 20,000 National Guard troops will be downtown. The incoming Biden administration is preparing to ramp up coronavirus relief after the first full week of 2021, ending with 965,000 people seeking unemployment assistance. That's an increase of more than 180,000 claims the Labor Department recorded the week before. Tonight, Biden is expected to lay out his plans to address the nation's health and economic crises. The mismanagement of a water contamination crisis in the predominantly black city of Flint, Michigan, could land Republican former Governor Rick Snyder in jail if convicted. Today, he pleaded not guilty to misdemeanor charges that carry up to a year behind bars and a $1,000 fine, angering many residents who say Snyder should face harsher punishment for neglecting his responsibility to ensure the men, women, and children in Flint had safe drinking water. Michigan Radio Steve Carmody says the criminal charges against Snyder are unprecedented.
This is the first time in the history of the state of Michigan, so we're talking 180 years, a former governor was charged with crimes connected to when they were in office. And this is a criminal charge brought against a former Republican governor under a Democrat attorney general. So there have been allegations raised that this may have been somewhat politically motivated. We'll see how it plays out in court.
Steve Carmody reporting. More serious charges have been leveled against former health director Nick Lyon. He's charged with involuntary manslaughter and the deaths of nine people who got Legionnaire's disease. Lyon has also pleaded not guilty. The Dow closes down 68 points. This is NPR News. New York Attorney General Letitia James is suing the New York Police Department. She accuses officers of using excessive force against protesters who were peacefully demonstrating for racial justice last spring following George Floyd's death.
We found that over the course of the protest from May to December of 2020, NYPD officers engaged in blatant use of excessive force and often misconduct, including the indiscriminate, unjustified, and repeated use of batons.
Black Lives Matter demonstrations were held across the country and around the world after video went viral showing a Minneapolis police officer pressing his knee on George Floyd's neck for several minutes. A U.S. appeals court has ruled the last two executions of death row inmates scheduled by the Trump administration can move forward. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports the decision comes after the lone woman on death row was executed earlier this week.
Both men scheduled to be executed have contracted COVID-19. 52-year-old Corey Johnson is scheduled to die by lethal injection this evening for the murder of seven people in 1992. Execution date for 55-year-old Dustin John Higgs is Friday. He was convicted for his involvement in the murder of three women. A district court judge issued a stay until March, citing the possibility that with lung damage caused by COVID, the lethal injection could lead to a violation of the ban against cruel and unusual punishment. That delay was overturned, but a legal fight continues. If executed, Johnson and Higgs would die less than a week before President-elect Joe Biden, a death penalty opponent, is sworn in. Cheryl Corley, NPR News.
This is NPR.